death until he comes. And as we're all aware of, this weekend is also another memorial where we as a nation remember those who gave of their last devotion and gave of their lives as we think of those men and women through the generations. And I speak for all of us and our family. We also keep the Birdwell family in our prayers as we all are mindful of Chris. And we think about Chris always this time of year and throughout the year as well. He is missed by all of us, and the Birdwells are in all of our hearts and in all of our prayers. As Lincoln said, highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. And that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. You know, my lesson this morning is not on freedom, but I just want to say a few things. Actually, it really could be tied into freedom, our spiritual freedom. But you know, as we think of the men and women that sacrificed and gave the greatest devotion, you've heard it said that they're called the fires of freedom. And the fires of freedom don't just burn automatically. Lives were given, and we are a free people today. And we're not, that doesn't mean we're a free people to just go out and live however we want to live our lives. As some might say, yes, we're a free people to freely go do whatever we want to do. Actually, that's not freedom at all, and we know that. And so for freedom to continue as a nation and as the people of God, we must be a responsible people. Matter of fact, we're free to serve. That's what we're free to do. We're free to sacrifice. We're free to give. And we're free to do good to all men, especially of those of the household of faith. And so as you think about the men and women who have given up the greatest devotion in their lives, and you think about the freedom you have and what you enjoy, just remember our responsibility now in it. To be a responsible people, to be a free people, to give of ourselves and to sacrifice ourselves. The Bible warns over and again to watch ourselves. I'm amazed at all the verses that you come across in Scripture that reference looking to yourself, watching yourself, not watching other people, right? Not watching other people and making sure they're all right, but watching ourselves and making sure we're all right. I was thinking of Moses when God had renewed the covenant with Israel to Moses. After Moses had shattered the commandments. Remember that? In anger, Moses shatters the commandments. And God, in his graciousness and goodness, gives another copy of the commandments. I want you to listen to what was said in Exodus chapter 34. I'll read this to you quickly, and you can go back another time and read it for yourself, where the covenant is renewed with Israel. And listen to what God says in verse 11. Be sure to observe what I am commanding you to this day. Behold, I'm going to drive out these people. And he'll list the Amorite, Canaanite, Hittite, Perizzite, all these people. Verse 12, he says this, watch yourself. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, or it will become a snare in your midst. And as we know Israel's history and time, it will become a snare. they will go right back into their slavery. But in the meantime, God, through the voice of their leader Moses, says, watch yourself. In the New Covenant, I'm mindful of passages like Paul in Galatians 6, verses 1 through 3, where he says, brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, if anyone is caught in a wrongdoing or a sin, and you catch this, he says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And then he says this. He says, each one looking to yourself. Watch yourself. Each one looking to yourself that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby or thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Or how about what Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy? I love 1 Timothy, and he writes to the young struggling preacher who's dealing with some difficult times. And he says to Timothy, Timothy, pay close attention to yourself. Timothy, you need to watch yourself. Pay close attention, and notice the order of it. Pay close attention to yourself and then to your teaching. What happens if he pays only attention to himself and not his teaching, right? His teaching isn't going to mean anything. It's going to be hypocritical, right? Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, he says, you will ensure salvation for yourself and also for those who hear you. One of my favorite verses, if we want to call it watchful verses, this is to my own life, is in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 in the wisdom literature of Proverbs. And Solomon writes these words, and I love this. Great text for you to memorize and meditate on. Solomon says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings and do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. I love that. Keep them in the middle of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. You've heard that verse. With constant effort. Watch your heart, my son. For from it will flow the springs of life. Put away in you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your yes or your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Notice, watch your heart with all diligence. And then he says, watch your path. Darren Hardy, author of a book called Compound Effect, said the most powerful influence in your life is the information or input you feed your mind. Now, for you and I, that'll be either feeding our minds with the things of the flesh, making a covenant with the world, making a covenant with the flesh, versus the Spirit of God in our minds. We all know how important it is to be watchful what we put into our minds, just as Solomon said, watch over your heart with all diligence. How often can man buy the lie that what we put in our brains doesn't matter? What we allow ourselves to listen to, what we allow ourselves to watch, what we allow ourselves to think upon, what we allow ourselves to read, none of it matters. Really. You know, I'm amazed, and I was this way as a young teenager, and this isn't just for teenagers. This is for all of us. I remember thinking this way as a young teen. You know, I could listen to any music I want to. It doesn't affect my mind. I just like the words. But I don't, or I just like the music. I don't like the words. I don't listen to the words. I remember thinking that. I remember having conversations with people, with teens at times when I was working with the team. And we would talk about this an awful lot because we all know the power of music. We all know the influence of music in all of our lives. And this is just one area. I want you to think about it this way. You know, our minds are the greatest computer in the world. It's proven. There's so much written on it. I want you to just think for a minute. Your mind is a computer, and you can take that computer and you can program it with all the viruses in the world. Go get all the junk that is in the world, all the websites that you can go to that are tracked, and you can input that into your brain, and the output is going to be okay. That there aren't going to be any issues with your computer. Input, output. Just like our computer, trash in, trash out. We can't do that, church. We must be, this is God's word saying to you, you've got to be watchful every day, constantly, what you put in your hearts. What you allow in your minds. And music matters. I can sing for you songs right now that I listened to when I was a teenager. I won't sing them. I will never sing them to you. I'll be sitting on my porch and all of a sudden that song will come up into my mind. Why is it? I just listened to the music. The words didn't mean anything to me. Maybe not at the time, but guess where they're at? Right where I put them. And it affects my life. What fills your heart today? That's my one question for me that I've been thinking about this week. Kurt, what fills your heart? Church, what fills your heart today? And I want to give you four watchful ways to help us fill our hearts with the right things. And our text is in Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles, your phones, let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians is a very important book. Paul writes this letter, and he'll tell the Ephesians, and we get the application for us today, that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. We learn about the church, some of the most important truths about the body of Christ in Ephesians. We learn that the church is God's eternal purpose, not a second made plan or plan B, but God has always had this plan to redeem man in the body of Christ, the church, from eternity. That's God's marvelous plan. That all of his riches, his wonderful riches, riches we can't even comprehend, are found in Christ Jesus. That if we want to be a satisfied people, a happy people, we must be in the body of Christ. We must be in the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read this to you, verses 15 through verse 21. And we're going to draw our 4 points from these few verses this morning, and we'll make some application. What fills our heart today? What fills the Ephesians' heart? Paul said, therefore, be careful how you walk. There's our watchful word phrase again. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We're going to look at four watchful ways to help us to fill our minds with the right things. And we're going to learn this from the Ephesians. First of all, Paul will say to the Ephesians, watch your walk. Now that's a simple point, but isn't it very important that the Ephesians are going to have to watch their ways? That we're going to have to watch where we walk. Paul will say, don't walk in the past. What was the Ephesians' past? What wasn't their past? What wasn't their past? I encourage you to go and study up on the pagan past of the Gentiles, the pagan past of the first century Gentile or pagan or person of Ephesus. There isn't anything they wouldn't do for the most part. There were no limits to their life. I want to share this with you. I was reading this week about the gods of that time, and we know who the god of the Ephesians was. Artemis, right? You've heard in history of Artemis. Supposedly, legend has it that the gods, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase this, but the gods went around the Roman Empire and found the right place to put Artemis. And Ephesus was that place. And so she was dropped from the sky, and the temple of Artemis was placed there. And the people, this wasn't a secret, a hidden place off in the bush where people snuck to. This was a place that everybody in society knew where it was and what it was about, and in some way was probably affected by it, influenced by it, we know. We know from history that there were priestesses in that temple, and we know there were prostitutes. And the way that you would worship Artemis was to go in and have sex with a prostitute. I'll leave it at that, but that was worship. That was their worship. And do you suppose that any of the people in the church had been affected or influenced by Artemis, the god of the Ephesians? Absolutely. And that's something Paul is wrestling with and the church is wrestling with. And the messages of that time and that culture versus the Spirit of God in their minds. I had also read that there were also a lot of little figurines of Artemis that were made, and people would purchase those, so it was a money-making thing as well. And the people would take those figurines with them, and supposedly their lives would be blessed. But that's not, those lives aren't blessed. Those lives are cursed. And this is the world that the church in Ephesus came out of. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, where Paul will talk about their walk. He says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk." You don't walk as you used to walk, Ephesians. In the futility of their mind. Where? In the futility of their mind. Being darkened in their understanding. And excluded from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardness of their heart. Pride never pays off, church. It'll always lead us astray. Remove pride from your heart. They have become callous. That's what pride does. And notice where it leads them. Having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you didn't learn Christ in this way. We'll stop right there for right now. Notice chapter 5, verse 1. Paul will say, "Therefore, because of all of what I've just said, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love." Watch your walk. He says, Ephesians, walk in love. "Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma, as a pleasing aroma to God." So watch your walk, number two. If we're going to fill our hearts with the right things, we have to make the most of our time. Isn't that true, church? Can we just nonchalantly go about our lives and fill our minds with Christ? With the Spirit? Or do I have to listen to what the Spirit of God says? And use my time wisely to make the most of our time. Notice Paul said in verse 16 of chapter 5, "Making the most of your time because the days are evil." Not just the day back then. The days of mankind are evil, aren't they? The world is evil. The world has made a covenant with other gods rather than Jehovah God. Their minds are full of these things rather than full of the Spirit. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. I always, and I love it, I've memorized it, I use it often in memorials. The prayer of Moses when he said, teach us to, it's my favorite, one of my favorites on this, teach us to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. You see, we're all going to stand before God, every one of us. You're not going to stand before me, and I'm not going to stand before you. I'm going to stand before the God and Creator, Almighty God Himself, and I'm going to offer my heart to Him. Am I going to have offered a heart like the Ephesians? Or I'm going to offer a heart that has been according to the Spirit that pleases God. And the way we're going to offer the right heart to God, in the prayer of Moses, we learn, is to number our days, to realize your days are numbered. That we're all going to die, and we're all going to die soon. Very soon. We need to prepare ourselves for that. Am I going to stand like the Ephesians before the pagans, before God, and present Him a sensual heart, an impure heart, a greedy heart, a selfish heart, a prideful heart, and on we go? Or are we going to offer to Him a heart that is created in righteousness, in purity, and in peace, and in holiness, and in truth? Because that's the only heart that our God is going to be pleased with. In chapter 4, verses 20 through 24, notice what Paul will say, but you didn't learn Christ this way, Ephesians. If indeed you have heard Him and you have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Him, in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, He's already told us about the former manner of life. Your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed. This is how you're going to do it. This is how you're going to lay aside the old self. You constantly be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self, which is in likeness to God, has been created, here it is, in righteousness, holiness, and truth. That's the heart you're going to present to Him, church. Because your mind is being renewed by the Spirit. Because you're filling yourself with the Spirit. We must use our time wisely. And seeking money throughout our entire lives is not how we're going to present to God a heart of righteousness. Money's not wrong. We know that. We use it to glorify God. It's all His anyway, right? But there are so many that get caught in that trap of just making more. You know, you can get back your money. Possibly. But can you ever get back your time? Whatever you've spent to this moment, you will never redeem. You'll never get it back. And so keep that in mind and think about that. God wants our hearts to be wise. He wants the Ephesians to be wise. And to do that, they've got to use their time right. One of the points that I shared this week, or at least I tried to communicate in Bert's memorial earlier this week, was that there are things we learn from Bert's Bible. That's kind of how I presented the lesson. What we learned from Bert's Bible, and one of them is that life is short. And that we do have to use our time wisely. Thirdly, we have to understand, and the Ephesians have to understand, His will, God's will. Notice chapter 5 again. Verse 17, he says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, how are they going to do that? What is the will of the Lord? What does God want? What is His purposes? What is God's desires? We know the basic truth of it is that He wants to redeem every man, every woman, every child, every person. He wants to save us from darkness, death. He wants to save us from sin. He wants us to live eternally with Him. We know that His will is what Jesus Christ our Lord came to accomplish at the cross. And He fulfilled it. He paid the price for sin. But how do we carry that will out? I think, again, we find from Scripture, it goes back to what you and I put in our minds. Remember Romans 12? You know that. Great passage, verses 1 through 3, where he says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, which is acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then he says, don't be conformed to this world, right? But be transformed by what? How many times have we heard it? By the renewing of our mind. And then he says something really interesting after that. That you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good, acceptable, and perfect. You want to know how to prove what God's will is? You be transformed in your mind. You don't walk and be conformed to the ways of this world, but you be renewed and transformed in your mind. And it doesn't happen one moment. Happens throughout our entire lives. We must understand what the will of God is if we're going to be filled with the Spirit, which is our last point. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Notice verse 18 of chapter 5. Do not get drunk with wine. They were being filled with the wrong spirit in Ephesus, right? That's what this is about. Now think about this in the context of the time. There is never God is never accepting of any generation drunkenness. So don't hear that. But I want you to hear it in the context. That was a part of the worship of that day. That was a part of what was happening in that sensual society. Everybody did it. They were all part of it. But he says, don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Like you fill up your car, your gas tank every week, right? Fill up your heads with Christ. Fill yourself with Jesus. And one of the ways you do that, it'll tell us in verse 19, speaking to one another, notice in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. To who? To the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And then he says, be subject to one another, each other, be subject in the fear of Christ. They are to be filled with these things. It brings to mind Romans 8, 6, the mind set on the flesh is death, the mind on the spirit is life and peace. You know what he's saying? He's saying, fill your heads with Christ. That's it. Same thing that Paul told the Colossians in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ, I love this phrase, richly dwell within you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. Fill your minds and fill your hearts and fill your heads with Christ. And one of the ways they do that, as we are this morning, Kent led us in song, we're not only worshiping and praising God, but we are filling our heads with Christ, church. That's part of our singing to one another. See, it is about each other, and it is about filling our minds with the right thing. Psalms were, real quick, I'll touch on this. The Psalms was Israel's ancient songbook. And many of the songs they sang came from the Psalms. Also, we know that hymns, the early church would sing what were called Christ hymns. And we know they would sing them back and forth to each other for this very purpose. Matter of fact, Pliny the Younger, in his letters to the Emperor Trajan, wrote when the Christians had were captured, he wrote about it, and here's what he said, quote, they had met regularly before dawn on a fixed day. And what do you suppose that is? Regularly before dawn on a fixed day, and here's what they would do, to chant verses alternately among themselves in honor of Christ as to a God. Now we know he wasn't a God. He's God. Now Pliny didn't get that and grasp it enough, but he was just like all the other gods, right? No, he wasn't. But that's what the Christians were doing. That's why they were singing. It didn't really matter the sound. It mattered the meaning. And it mattered what they were doing. And it wasn't about them. It was about each other. And it was about God. And so they sang Christ hymns. I want to close quickly, real quick, and then the lesson is yours, with three points. If the Ephesians are to fill their heads with Christ, some They're going to have to do some certain things, and so are we. First of all, they could not listen to the gods of their world all week long. They couldn't spend their time in the temple of Artemis and with those people all week long and then expect to come to worship on Sunday and have peace with God. They won't have peace with God, and neither will you. If you spend your time listening and making a covenant with the gods of this world, you will not be able to come to worship and have peace with God. You must have the peace of God in your heart. And so we've got to ask, what do we give our attention to? The message of the world or the message of Christ? Number two, they couldn't hang out with the devil all week and then expect to be friends with God. Because you see, James said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. I can't be a friend with the world and make a covenant with the world and be a friend with Jehovah God. He doesn't accept it. He doesn't allow it. One foot in the world and one foot in Christ causes the spiritual splits. You don't get anywhere. You don't walk forward. You stay put. And so that leads to a very important truth that the scriptures teach over and over again for the Ephesians and us here today and every generation. We must narrow our circle of influence. We must know who the people are who we need to be with. And that's what this body is about. These are your people. These are the ones that are going to help us fill our minds with Christ and the right things. And you know, the reality is, church, that as we grow with the Spirit of Christ in our hearts, we won't be liked. Jesus wasn't liked. And he even say, blessed are you when men persecute you and cast insults against you and say all kinds of mean things about you. Hey, they did it to me. They did it to the prophets who were before me. Because the world is against the Spirit of Christ and the mind of Christ. And so we got to know who the people are we can be with. And the old truth, bad company corrupts good morals, is so true. For the young and the old, doesn't matter. Paul says in verse 21 of chapter 5, be subject to each other. And carry this with you when you leave here today. We don't often think of Christ from a fearful standpoint, but he says, be subject to each other. Your interactions amongst each other in the fear of Christ, because he knows our hearts. Be subject to one another. Watch your walk. Fill your hearts and fill your minds today and throughout the rest of this week with the Spirit of Christ. And you will have the peace of God. And we'll have peace amongst ourselves. And we will live in peace with God for eternity. That's our promise. We've got an invitation song, and this is a time we extend the invitation to anybody. We're going to stand and sing that song. If you are needing prayers of any kind, or if you are requesting to put on Jesus in baptism this morning, we can do that. This is the time in which we offer that. We just ask that you come as we stand, as we sing.